For me, and I'm just been in a season of reflection, and I'll share more about that in a moment. But what I'm going to do today is this: I'm going to just reflect and talk to the Lord and enjoy Him. And every now and then, remember I'm talking to you or you're listening to me, because I'm in a real spirit of gratitude over what the Lord has done over the years, in particularly at this particular time. And I want you to be captured with a spirit of gratitude for your own life story, the God story in your personal life, and the God story in your spiritual family life, in your local church, in your ministry, which is here, and those that are visiting, it's somewhere back home. But today is the 17-year anniversary of IHOP, as we talked about. We've been going 24/7. I mean, technically it's tomorrow, but we're celebrating it today. But also, before IHOP, I pastored the church, Metro Christian Fellowship, for 17 years, exactly to the day. I started it December 5th, 1982, and I resigned December 5th, 1999, exactly 17 years to the day. They just both happened to coincidentally land on Sunday. And so there I was, December 5th, 17 years later, and here I am 17 years again, exactly. So I have these two 17-year time frames that overlap, and they are connected to each other in a very quite dynamic way. And then we had the YWAM week last week, which was a very historic time that I want to talk about for 3 or 4 minutes. Most of you are aware of it, but just to get it, really keep it in our family conversation in a dramatic way, because it's such a dramatic thing that God did. Well, the Lord is not just a king. He's a scientist, he's an architect, he's an engineer, but he's a poet too. I mean, he has great poetry in his leadership, and many times dates and times and cities and names, they rhyme and riddle. And I mean, the Lord is a poet as much as he is a scientist and an architect. Well, I miss a lot of his poetry, but I know there's this 17 years they've come together. Because there's only one day where they're both seven, one time, they're each 17 years, and I'm at that season right now, and I'm contemplating the next 17 years. And in the spirit of that, I'm just reflecting and thinking, Lord, I'm reviewing many things that He's done in the past. Now, one thing that I've really been zealous about, and I would recommend you to do the same, is that I keep real focused journals about what God has said or done related to my life. I have pages and pages, hundreds of pages of what He's did in 82 and 83 and 84. And I would journal them and write them down and study them and review them over and over. And it's a really important thing to do. And some of you have in your own God story, it's easy to forget the moments when the Lord intervened years ago. And we stop sometimes to remember and go, wow, but you want to do that real intentionally on a regular basis. And that is something I found to be tremendously helpful to do, because it creates gratitude in my heart and it creates confidence in my heart. And so as I look at these two 17-year periods and I say, Lord, what's coming? What's going to unfold in the days to come? And I just want to give thanks to the Lord, just personally. Even as I'm sharing the story with you, I'm really saying it, Lord, thank you. This is wonderful. It's a beautiful story. I mean, it's a wonderful God story that we have together as a local church family and the IHOP staff that undergirds so much of what God has called us to do with the 24/7 prayer. It's the center of so much of what we're mandated to do. And I've been reviewing my story a lot in the last week. Now, 2 weeks ago, I mean, the week before was the YWAM week. And I just want to take a moment and just say that again. And we're going to talk about this many times in the days to come, because it was a quite historic moment in our life, in our spiritual family. The fact that God brought the leaders, the top leaders of the largest missions movement in history. I mean, there's only one mission movement that's the largest one in history. And they flew from all over the world, Almost all of their top leaders flew to Kansas City. There's several thousand of their staff from around the world gathered here. They've never had a gathering like this in their 55-year history. They have 30,000 staff members in 2,000 different mission bases around the world. I mean, we have one mission base here. They have 2,000 of them in almost every country of the world, 30,000 staff members. They got on airplanes, you know, $2,000 and $3,000 tickets, and they flew all the way to Kansas City from all around the world to gather together as the top leadership in a way they've never done before in all their 50-plus years. And they wanted to do it in Kansas City, and one of the reasons was because IHOP was here. And they want to be deeply connected in partnership with us, and of course, we do with them. And we spent, you know, several Sundays talking about this and unpacking this, and because we wanted this to not slip by anybody's notice and just kind of pass by, because this is, we're going to look back at this and see it was a historic moment. And here Lorne Cunningham, the leader of YWAM, stands on this platform and he says, IHOP, he says, God has promised me 1 million intercessors and we need them. Yes, because he doesn't acknowledge that they're the largest, but everybody knows it and he knows it. But he goes, our numbers are growing, but our challenges are getting greater. We have more enemies. We have more obstacles. We have more opportunity. We have more resource. We've never been in a time like this where we need intercession. I mean, the largest missions movement in history needs the largest prayer covering in history. And that's not us. It's us gathering other prayer ministries together. And he looked at us and he said, IHOP, I need you. Will you help us? And it was just like an arrow hit my heart. I was just backstage listening to it. And of course, I've interacted with Lorne many times. And I gave our response from our leadership team. We are committed in a sober, serious way, in a long-term way, to go forward and help raise up this army of 1 million intercessors. We're calling on all kinds of prayer ministries and friendships around the world. And this is something it will take years to do, to walk out and to fully see fleshed out. But it was a very significant beginning of a new chapter. And it's not an accident, from my point of view, that it happened at just this time. Finishing one 17-year period before IHOP and now 17 years of IHOP, I believe that this was a big down payment of and a hint of where this movement is going and the collaboration and partnership, but even the dynamic involvement in the missions movement. Beloved, we're in the generation that's going to see the gospel preached in every single nation of the earth for the first time in history. I mean, all the top mission leaders, Lorne Cunningham, but all the others as well, they're saying that by the year 2020, by the year 2020, I mean within 5 years, there will be a witness of the gospel in every single people group on planet Earth. Every single ethnos, every nation, every people group. I mean, it's never happened in history. There's 12,000 distinct people groups, and by the year 2020, every one of them will have at least a beachhead, a small one, in their country. And things are about to really pick up in terms of the momentum of the missions movement. And there's so many things to say about that. The prayer movement is exploding around the earth, and the Lord has favored and graced IHOP here with relationship with many, many of the prayer leaders and prayer movements around the world. And there's affection and friendship for such a time as this. And Lorne Cunningham, leading the largest missions movement, there are 1,200 other identifiable missions ministries in the world, and many of them are following his inspiration, and they look at him as a senior father. And he has a deep relationship with many, many of the top mission leaders in the world that are separate organizations. And so this kind of synergism, this convergence of him calling on us and us responding, and of course we have a long-term a history of affection with some of their top leaders, John Dawson and a number of the others, and Mark Anderson. And so here's this top missions movement who's leading and inspiring so many others. And they're looking at us saying, hey, go get all your friends and let's do this thing together. and the prayer movement's growing. The Spirit's being poured out like no time in history. There are more people being touched by the Holy Spirit in the last 10 years. I mean, the stats are remarkable. I don't want to go into all of them right now. But everything is at the highest numbers. And it's increasing dramatically. And this is at such a time as this, God is saying, prayer movement, I have need of thee. I don't mean just IHOP, prayer movement in the earth, of which we are a part of that great story. But then I take a step back and I remember how God set this thing in motion, how God intervened and interrupted and made things clear that could never have been clear in the natural. He intervened and interrupted. And when I look back over 34 years of him doing this, and particularly he set things in order in the 1980s, and the number of these prophetic encounters that the Lord has graced this movement with, and I look back at them, and Lord, if you would not have interrupted and intervened, we wouldn't be in this place. We'd have been in a very, very different space, in a very different mindset. Then I find myself among a people. We have a mindset that's been formed and fashioned intentionally by the intervention of the Lord. And here at this 17-year mark, it's coming together with the missions movement. And the missions movement has got this dynamic friendships, many of them together, and the prayer movements. And I look back and I say, Lord, it's a beautiful story that's unfolding. And that you've allowed us to be a part of this. It's a remarkable thing. And the fact that you went, I say God went out of his way, that's not a real concept, but it's just a phrase. But you went out of your way, God, to get us connected to this many years ago. I mean, it started with how he intervened and visited Bob Jones 40 plus years, over 40 years ago in 1975, 41 years ago, and called him and visited him and told him about these things that would happen. And how it all unfolded. Now, again, as I've looked at this last week and so grateful for the YWAM gift of God. It was like God's present to us saying, IHOP, just muse over this. I mean, engage in it, do it, but consider what this might mean in the next 17 years. Just look at it. I have plans beyond anything that you could imagine. So I want to encourage you to pay attention to your own God story. Now, we have individual God stories, and we have a collective corporate God story. But one thing I found out about my individual God story, my own promises that are to me directly, almost all of our personal promises are connected to other people. Meaning, they are not going to be fulfilled in a vacuum or in isolation. But rather, they're going to be fulfilled as we are deeply connected to people of like value and like vision. That God doesn't give us a promise and it happens by itself, but it happens, even our personal ones, as we are deeply connected together. And so when I look back over these years, and I'm so grateful, I have gratitude and confidence. Those are the two things I feel in a very heightened way. Gratitude and confidence, and I would add the word, I feel a tenderness in my heart towards the Lord and what's happening, and I feel a deeper resolve than I've ever had to never back down, but to contend for the fullness, not get partway there and coast, but we want to see the fullness. So I feel these four words, confidence, gratitude, resolve, and tenderness. That's what I'm reflecting on when I look at all the things that God has said and done over these years. Now, when I think of gratitude, I'm grateful first for the investment that God made. I mean, the way that he's intervened and interrupted us and set us on a path we would never have found without supernatural intervention. And God's zeal is made known in this. He's zealous for this purpose, far more than we are. I mean, as the years unfold, I become more zealous and more aware of the significance of what he's given us. But the Lord says, I am far more zealous than you are. This is my purpose. This is my movement. This is something I've invested in. And have I invited you because I love you? And each of you, he's called you by name and sent you here from all over the world. And I look at the 17 years of IHOP, and we've had 16,000 different people with us in a full-time way, 16,000. And 15,000 of them are in the nations right now, you know, in America or the nations of the world. And most of them are involved in missions work, or they're involved in a prayer ministry in their town or the nation where God has them. So there's been 16,000 of us. And actually, that number's grown a little bit since then, but that's the number I'm using the last couple of years. But 15,000 plus are out there, and I'm so grateful to them as well, because they're out there by the will of God. It's not because they lost heart. Many of them have more zeal for God's purposes in this hour of their life than they've ever had. So it's not like they're out there because they quit. They're out there because they're in obedience, and they're moving forward, and they're believing God for their generation and his purposes. So I look back over this and I say, Lord, I'm so grateful for your intervention, the zeal that you've shown, the way that you went out of your way for us to get us involved. And, you know, I think of the last 34 years, and many of these happened in the 80s. But I can, as I was looking over my journal, I can identify about, it's not an exact number, 40, maybe 35 to 40, unusual supernatural interventions. I don't mean just kind of standard, the Lord blessed us, which I love, but I mean above and beyond just the normal blessing of the Lord. 30, maybe 40 times. I mean, that's a remarkable number. What I'm talking about, things like the audible voice of the Lord, that happened, you know, 4, 5, 6 times. Angelic appearances, maybe, I don't have the numbers in my head, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, 5 times, something like that. Encounters, heavenly encounters, there's been a few of those over the years. And signs in the heavens, and comets and storms, and earthquakes predicted to the day that backed up the prophetic word that was given. And those kinds of signs that, in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, God will, quoting Joel, God will give dreams and visions and so show signs in the heavens and the weather patterns to verify the dream and the vision. Well, there's a number of those. And I think of 30 or 40 supernatural encounters of prophetic men and women. I mean verifiable, confirmed, and many, many more that have been claimed by various people. But 30 or 40 that I can, in a real confident way, believe and receive and look to and say, God, I'm absolutely sure of these. You confirm them in a way that is no mistake to make. And again, there's others that have had experiences, and undoubtedly many of them are real, but didn't confirm them in a way that I could take hold of in the way of these 30 or 40. But I mean, if you get 3 or 4 of those in your life, you're blessed among men or blessed among women. We don't have 3 or 4, we have 30 or 40. And I look at that and I go, Lord, this is remarkable. And I'm just kind of pausing in this hour and reflecting, and God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, prophetic ministry, you know, it's very important to understand that we don't build our ministry on prophetic ministry. We base our life and our ministry on our relationship with Jesus and the written word of God. We're not led by prophecies. When God sends prophetic encounters and confirms them, what it does is the biggest thing that it does is that it gives you perseverance over decades when you're tempted to quit. That when the delay of the promise goes on, and when obstacles rise up and circumstances are challenging and difficult, those prophetic encounters, you look back at them and you look at them and you consider them, and they give you courage not to draw back, not to kind of give in to the status quo of what's happening, but to hold your line and to hold the ground of persevering in difficult assignments. You know, I've had people say, you know, I'd love to have an angelic encounter. And I say, you know, God doesn't send angels with a message to people to entertain them. They're very, very rare. You know, they're in the Bible, they're rare. But they're given strategically. And he doesn't send it just to kind of make a day a little more exciting than another day. And I said, you know, it's kind of a strange setup, because if an angel comes, they're going to give you a message that you're going to need for the next several decades to not quit. You're going to need that message, because the message they're going to bring you is going to take something. It's going to be an assignment that's going to be resisted, and it's going to take an unusual perseverance not to give up. So I said, you get a 5-minute encounter with an angel, and like, wow, but now you got 5 decades in order to be faithful and not draw back from that one encounter. So you want an angel. Well, be careful what you ask for, because if the angel comes, you might just get a commission that is very, very challenging to your flesh that you would not want to do otherwise, but this has given you strength and confirmation. Well, in prophetic words, another thing, not only do we not base our ministry and our life on them, you know, they're sent to strengthen us so we don't quit when it's tough or when the delay is long. But also, it's important to know that prophetic words are not guarantees, they're invitations. And the Lord is saying, this is what I'll do if you'll say yes. But the yes you have to say, the yes is not a momentary yes, it's a long-term yes. And so these prophetic words are invitations. They're real ones. They're substantial ones, but they require the ongoing yes. Well, the enemy is determined to get that yes out of the heart of God's people. And so what happens is these prophetic encounters are this God story when he intervenes in our life. And again, he intervenes in our personal life. I mean, promises for our personal life. And he intervenes for our corporate life, our promises together as a spiritual family. I mean, these go together. And he intervenes in these two different ways. And he gives one here and one there. And again, if you get 2 or 3 of those over your life, that's amazing. Or 5 or 6 or whatever. And to have the number that we have, the Lord says, do you know how invested I am? But do you know how I'm really requiring it of you to respond to me? I mean this. I want you to know this is serious to me, and I want it serious to you. And God has given us people that take this with the utmost seriousness. But a moment like this, I mean, a day like this, when we stop and reflect, what it does, it creates this gratitude. Because without remembering the God story, it's so easy to lose the God story in just the noise of life. Because there's only a few of these interventions in our life, and then the months go by, and the hot sun is beating down, and it's like when Adam sinned, God says, you're going to have the hot sun, you're going to have to pull weeds in the garden, you're going to have frustrations in life and setbacks, and you know, life unfolds with challenges and difficulties and frustrations. And the enemy doesn't want us staying connected to the God story in our life. He wants us to get lost in the noise of life. So then we get discouraged. Then we get preoccupied with how we're not being treated in the way that we deserve to be treated. Then we lose our way of our, we lose sight of what's really going on. And we're captured by what's the challenges, we're captured by criticisms, we're captured by the delay and the pain of the delay and the frustration of delay, and we don't get what we want or what we deserve or what we need. And the Lord says, that's not the main story of your life. Those are challenges that every man and woman of God has to face and they have to overcome. But there's a bigger thing going on. There's a God story. And I have found over the years, many people lose sight of their God story. They don't recall it over and over and over again. That's why I urge people to write down the things God has done. Write them down. If it's God, write it. You're going to need to remember it. I think I've heard people say many times over the years, well, I won't forget it. And I say, I promise you, it doesn't really work that way. That you there in your humanity, you'll forget many things, even dramatic moments. You won't forget all of it, but you'll forget parts of it. And I've looked and reviewed the transcripts of and the writings, and I think, Lord, I forgot that phrase. Wow. And I look at it, and I've got it written several times. It was years ago, and I go, yes. And one of the reasons I love telling some of our story is because I like to call my heart back into it over and over and over again. I mean, God's doing something beautiful in our midst. And this thing called the prayer ministry, and it's more, we're doing more than the prayer ministry, but that's the thing that's highlighted, and that's probably the most rigorous thing, is that sanctuary, keeping that sanctuary going with engaged hearts. I mean, and it's not just the IHOP staff. It's the whole FCF family. We're all in this thing together. You might have an occupation in the marketplace, but you're still a part of this assignment. You can't do it in the same hours, but you're still a part of this spiritual family, and this assignment is given to this family. And so everybody has different hours and different intensities over different decades of how we do this and how we do that. But in the Lord, he's saying, yeah, but I want you engaged with it. This is something we get to do, not something we have to do. Some folks, when they lose the God story and they get caught up with the struggles, the delays, the setbacks, the personality conflicts, the disappointments, they end up, it's all of us. We end up getting captured with a, I have to do this. Why do I have to do this? Is there any way I can do less? And the Lord said, no, you're in the wrong narrative. Wrong. Get connected to what you're here for. What I've said, the zeal I've shown you about this people. And when I touch that, because I lose that sometimes, you think I wouldn't because I tell the story more than anybody, but sometimes I lose sight of it and I get back a hold of it again. And when I get a hold of it, then I have a, this is something I get to do. It's an amazing privilege. Yes, it's fraught with hardships, delays, setbacks, and all kinds of dynamics that are challenging. I get to do this. The God of heaven really cares about this. And when I look at our 17-year history, it's a miracle that we've existed 17 years. I mean, I looked at us. I mean, I look at us, and it's more. What has happened here is more than the sum total of just dedicated people who won't quit. Now the Lord says, no, I've intervened time and time again. I have many more miracles, financial miracles, heart miracles, reconciliation miracles. I'm going to join you to other people, to other ministry. I got many, many more things still that will surprise you in the days to come. Well, it's a remarkable thing. And I look back and I say, Lord, I'm grateful for you, your intervention. But the other thing I'm grateful for, I have two things I'm really grateful for, is more than two, but the two I want to mention today is the wholehearted people that said yes. That's you. And that's many that were here, but now they're there, but they still have the same heart. And many are there for all the right reasons, because God sent them, and they're still connected to what God is saying and doing in this generation in their own lives. But I look back and I look at you guys and I think, Lord, I am so grateful to be with a people who will take risk and keep taking risk. They will take hold of the stigma. There's a certain stigma upon the forerunner messaging and the standing for Israel and the message of the bride of Christ and 24/7 prayer. It's not only challenging to do, there's a certain resistance in the spirit and in the natural against those kinds of things. I look at all these things, I go, Lord, how much more politically incorrect could it be? People sitting in a room talking to God is their job, then talking about the bride of Christ and all the stigma that goes with people who don't get it. They think you're being sensual with Jesus. And then the Israel thing troubles a whole lot of folks. And then the end time judgments and the power, that troubles a whole lot of folks. And then the lifestyle of the whole thing. I go, Lord, this is a strange way to live. But thank you, because I get to do this. Because you've shown me how you feel about it. And you've done so many interventions and you've brought so many amazing people who refuse to quit. And one of our greatest gifts are always people of like-hearted who are passionate for Jesus. I mean, who won't give up, who refuse to draw back. Now, when I look over the years, I see all the different things that God has spoken to us. I mean, just over and over again, the things that he has done. I mean, the financial miracles. I mean, I was talking to our, we had an all staff meeting. We have four of them a year where we all gather in here. And I was just giving a few of the economic miracles that at the very particular time, hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. It's happened a number of times, maybe 10 times, big numbers, $700,000, $800,000, $2 or $3 million. That's happened a handful of times, but exactly at the right moment. And the Lord says, I'm with you. The promises that he's given us in remarkable ways about healing breaking out, the way that he has emphasized the message of the bride and the beauty of God and all of these things that he has set in motion, the signs in the heavens that have taken place to verify prophetic words, that's happened 5 or 10 times over the years. I mean, one of those would be amazing. That would be enough. And the Lord says, no. No, your weak hearts have need of this because the assignment is rigorous. The journey is long. The enemies are many. The challenges are great, but my heart is with you. I've called you. And again, when I look across this room and the earlier service, the amount of people that he disrupted you from a faraway city and brought you here against your will. Some of you were actually excited coming. Others of you were, he was dragging you against your will and you got here. And you thought, oh, I didn't figure out what I was doing here. But you said yes. At the end of the day, you said yes. And I look at that and I say, Lord, this is a remarkable, remarkable reality. Now, what's the next 17 years going to look like? I mean, no, I don't know. I know that the YWAM connection, because this is not a little connection. This is a major, significant development in our history and in their history as well. So the first 17 years was the pre-IHOP, and so many things happened that are affecting IHOP. The last 17 years, we've maintained a sanctuary. The next 17 years, there's a global dimension, and I believe a power of God dimension, and I believe a supernatural intervention in finances and supply and miracles and direction, but I believe the enemies will be greater. I believe the obstacles will be greater. I believe that there's a growing darkness in the nations, that there will be greater darkness, greater demonic attacks, greater resistance, more hostility. But the power of God in the midst of his people will be greater measure, more precise, financial miracles. I believe that as the nations are being shaken a little now, but in a minute, going to be greatly shaken in a financial way. It's very clear a big financial shaking is coming to the earth. But the Lord has spoken to us and other groups as well. I don't mean just us by any means, but he's gone out of his way to let us know a number of times. I'm going to give financial miracles. I am the God of miracles. I'm going to give you a history of me intervening in your life. Watch and see. And when I look at the last 17 years of IHOP, again, I mentioned about 10 times of huge gifts have come in just randomly. Many of them we didn't have a clue, and they came in on the very day that something would unfold. And I mean, I look back at that and the Lord's saying, that's just a token. That's just an early beginning of what I'm going to do over and over here and in many places around the world. So I see great trouble, but I see it's going to be glorious. I see glorious, but not easy. Not always fun by any means. Sometimes fun, but not always fun. But not easy, but glorious and powerful and real. And that he's brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's a time we need to reflect on our prophetic stories, our individual stories and our collective stories. You know, on our website, we have the series I gave. We have it in video and I have the handouts with all the dates and names and all the key ideas where I told our prophetic history for eight days in a row for 1 hour at a time. I took them and there's about, again, 30 to 40 stories. I only covered about half of them. But I gave a little bit of detail on about half of those 40 stories, those supernatural interventions. And we have it on the on our website. Some of you saw it years ago. But if I would quiz you right now after the service, I assure you, you probably don't remember 10% of it. And I don't fault you for that. That's not my point. My point is review it. Look at it again and go, huh, you know what? This is part of my spiritual family story. I need to not just think, wow, that must be cool. Mike must really like that story. No, it's not a Mike story. It's a God story for a family. at such a time as this. It's a story that has global implications, and God brought you from some, many of you from a faraway place to be here. He called you by name and set you here. It's your story. It's not my story. It's our story. And I'm jealous that you would capture that story in a greater way. I mean, just in a few minutes here, I couldn't hardly cover much. I could cover a couple of the stories, but I took 8 one-hour sessions and covered just a portion of those 40 encounters. Again, that's not the actual number, but some number like that. I haven't actually ever counted them up like that. It's God saying, I'm zealous, I'm involved, I'm watching, I'm with you. You're not alone. It's a beautiful story. I'm with you. Don't let the noise of life drown out the God story in your life, because then you're stuck with the humdrum and that's it. The mundane routine without connection to the God story. You don't have gratitude and you don't have confidence, but you have the drudgery of, I got to do this and why is this happening? Because that's how humans respond. That's how all of us respond. And the Lord says, I have a greater way for you, but you have to be intentional. Remember what I've told you. Call it to mind. So that's what I'm wanting to do today, is get you into the time into the mind frame that I've been in the last week or so after YOM left, just this last 7 days, thinking of our anniversary coming up, reviewing a lot of my journals, going, wow, yes, yes, yes. It is hard and challenging at times. It is rigorous, but God, this is like amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I would have never have made my way to these things ever without you intervening and waking me up. Well, what does this next 17 years look like? If I had to summarize it in one word, which I don't, but I was just thinking, if I had one word, which is kind of crazy, you can't ever summarize 17 years of a God story, the next 17 years, in one word. But if I did, I would use the word friendship. And I think that friendship will be one of the primary words in the next 17 years. That God wants us to enjoy greater friendship with Him. He wants us to have greater friendship together. And He wants us to enjoy greater friendship with other parts of the body of Christ in this convergence and synergistic partnerships where part of our inheritance is in their hands and part of their inheritance is in our hands, and we're doing it together. And we're doing it together with those out there, but we're doing it together here. And so when I look at that, I say, I think friendship, and I have some reasons why I think that word, if I had to pick one word. And it's something that the Lord wants to see increase in our personal hearts with Him, in our life together, and in our connection to ministries across the earth. And God is glorified by friendship. I mean, something as simple as friendship, the glory of God is manifest in the simplicity of real friendships. And when I mean friendships, I'm talking about the sober, serious commitments. I'm talking about the fun and the lighter side of life being shared. I'm talking about victories and setbacks. I'm talking about being patient and bearing with one another, true friendships. Not just, I'm going to hang out with you as long as you're nice and make me happy. But no, I see who you are, and we're in this together for the long haul. I can see something bigger than your weakness. It's that kind of friendship that God is glorified in. It's that kind of friendship that the body of Christ functions in. The nations are changed by this. You know, the word the Lord gave me years ago about changing the understanding and expression of Christianity in the earth in one generation, friendship is the core reality of that. This enjoying one another, enjoying God, and enjoying them, the other ministries that we're in partnership, and many of them we've not even met, that in the next 17 years we're going to have a partnership with, and it's going to be a glorious thing. I mean, what a remarkable thing that God's eyes are upon us. And His hand is in our midst, and He's doing so much more than I could ever even outline in one setting here. But I'm grateful for you. I mean, really, you are one of the greatest gifts. I mean, besides God's interventions itself, God's great gift to me is you. And God's great gift to you is me. No, is one another. Gotcha. No, it is. You are one of the great gifts of God to me. You want to go hard. You don't want to give up. It's hard. There's challenges. You refuse to quit. You bear the stigma. You bear the challenges. You bear the delay. You bear the unknown. Just on and on. And the financial pressures and the relational tensions that all go in being a part of a God purpose with real demonic enemies and real people stirred up against what's going on. I so honor you. I thank you that you're willing to be risk takers, that you're willing not to quit. I mean, it's a glorious reality. And so I look back over all of these years, and again, I think of the Bob Jones, the 1975. He has a death experience where he seemingly dies, and his spirit, I mean, it looked like his body was dead to people around him, and his spirit ghost stands before the Lord, and the Lord, he sees the Lord, and he's so happy to be with the Lord. It's over. I made it. Lord, I'm with you. This is awesome. And the Lord puts his hand. He goes, go back. I want you to go back. Because he said, I'm going to raise up a movement of young people, of singers and musicians, and they're going to touch the ends of the earth. And I want you to go back to touch the beginning leadership of this movement. He says, and the Lord told Bob, he said, you won't be there when it develops and matures, but you'll be there at the beginning. And I want you to go back. This is 40 years ago. And the Lord told Bob face to face in that encounter with the Lord, he said, there's going to be a third world war and there's going to be great famine that's going to happen across the earth. But I'm going to bring 1 billion people to me and the greatest revival. And I'm going to raise up a prayer movement across the earth. And I want you to be a part of that, Bob. So I want you to send you back. And so Bob came back, and you know, the angels carried him back, and he told the story. It's a little humorous. He goes, I looked at my body in my bedroom, and he goes, I don't want to go back in there, because he had so much pain right before he had that, you know, I don't know if he died. I don't know exactly medically what happened, but the angels are there, and they're talking about a purpose coming out of Kansas City and great financial blessing coming to the city in the future. And it says, God says, I'm going to raise up young people and older people alike that will intercede and pray. He goes, I will give great mercy to Kansas City because they will pray. I will send the rains when there are great droughts because they will pray. I will send financial blessing. I will release my power in that city. And he said, Bob, I want you to help stabilize the young leaders that are coming. And that was in 1975. And it was 7 years later that we meet each other, and he walks in my office, you know, and I've told the story many, many times, but just the last minute or two, just because it's fun to tell it, that he walked into my office, you know, there in Overland Park. And I mean, we were just very, very different personalities, very different in every way possible. And he comes in with his winter coat on, and it's maybe 70 degrees. I don't know exactly, but it was a warm day. He comes in with a winter coat, and he looks at me, and he says, let me tell you what God has in store for your life. And I said, okay, why do you got your coat on? I said, you want to take your coat off? He goes, oh, no, the snows are coming. You know, it's about 70. I don't know exactly, but I got a short sleeve shirt on. I remember that. It was warm outside. He goes, the snows are coming? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, you'll see. And I thought, what a quack. And I mean, I really did. I thought, this guy's weird. And then he looked at me and he said, oh, by the way, he goes, God's going to use you to raise up singers and musicians from all over the world. They're going to come to Kansas City. And I thought, why? He says, because you're going to have 24-hour prayer. You're going to have prayer 24 hours a day. It's never going to stop. Now, I had zero interest in that. Zero interest in 24-hour prayer. We had prayer meetings every day, but I did prayer meetings. I endured prayer meetings because I wanted power. I thought, I'll even put up with prayer if power's at the end, but 24 hours a day, are you kidding me? No way. I mean, I didn't like it at all what he said. I go, what? He goes, well, you know, and the Lord's going to move you here from Overland Park over to Grandview. And I said, well, you know, our people don't really shop over in Grandview. He goes, I guess a little different economic situation. And he goes, well, he goes, they will, I promise you. And I said, why are I going to move to Grandview? He goes, well, because Harry S. Truman's there. And you're going to be on his property. Like, why do I care about Harry S. Truman's property in Grandview? He goes, because you're going to pray for Israel. God's going to use you in this young adult prayer ministry to connect with people and millions of intercessors for Israel. I'm thinking, I don't care about Israel. I don't care about praying night and day. And I don't want to go to Grandview. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I've been in this young adult church for 6 months at Overland Park. We're having a great time. About 500 young, mostly young people. And, you know, and tremendous blessed people in economics and their person. A lot of great people there. And I thought, this doesn't fit us at all. This is the wrong message for this group. And then he says, oh, yeah. And he goes, you know, and he sold the smartphones back 40 years ago. And he goes, they're going to have unplugged TV sets throughout all the rice paddies in China. All over Asia, they're going to have unplugged TV sets watching the singers on Harry S. Truman's property in Grandview. I go, unplugged TV sets. He goes, all over the rice paddies. I saw them right there in their hands. I go, unplugged. You know, I'm picturing, you know, a 5-foot TV set out there. Some guy in a rice paddy with no place to plug it, looking at the TV. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, yeah, you'll see. You'll see. And he goes, they're going to be watching all around the world. I go, watching what? He goes, the singers and musicians and all kinds of things are going to come out from Grandview. Okay? And he goes, oh, at that time, he said they're going to have an abortion pill. A lady will get an abortion from a pill. They'll sell it over the counter. This is 35 years ago, he's telling me this. I go, well, what are you talking about? I go, do you know what an abortion is? He goes, of course I do. I go, you can't have an abortion with a pill. It doesn't work that way. I go, anybody knows that. He goes, they're going to do something. They're going to invent something new. And ladies will have abortions with a pill. And I thought, that's the strangest thing I ever heard. That's worse than the unplugged TV sets. That's worse than going to Grandview on Harry S. Truman's property to sing all day. I thought, what? Then he goes, at that time, the homosexuals will come out of the closet. They'll be marching in the streets with the support of the governments across the earth. He goes, they'll be marching strong. He goes, you'll see it. He goes, all this will happen. He goes, it'll be after my day, but you'll see all of these things with your eyes and you'll be there. He's got this winter coat on, you know, in my office telling me this. I thought this guy is absolutely missing it. Well, I could go on and on and tell the story, but I don't want to do that right now. I'm out of time. But my point is 30 or 40 really major encounters with the Lord that are credible and verifiable, at least from my perspective. I look back at that. And I look at the amount of people that came in my church world, the MCF, the Metro Christian Fellowship world, and that church is still going on down the road on 99th and Holmes is when they meet, and I love them and love many of the people, and so grateful for the way that so many of them gave so much for that 17 years, and then the 17 years of IHOP, and 15,000 of them are across the nations, and I'm so grateful for that, and I say, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm more confident. I'm more grateful. I have more tenderness about this. And I'm resolved, Lord, like never before, because it's a God story. It's a beautiful story. And it's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Let's have the worship team come up. I'd like you to stand. I'd like you to think of your own God story. Maybe you got two or three things. You know, maybe you're, you know, a young guy says, I'm 15 years old, I've had one dream. Okay, let's take that. And it doesn't have to be just a dream or something, but where God intervened in a way that was unusual in your life to give you promise or to give you provision or to give you protection in a way where he showed his leadership in your life in a more than a natural way. It was supernatural. I want you to stop and think about those. And I want to urge you to commit to go start journaling them, even if you haven't. Start recalling them. And maybe you'll remember a few in a year or two. You can't remember now. You'll go, oh, yeah, I got them all in one place. I mean, I love to pore over them. I'm always finding a new little iteration of it here and there of the story. And it's connecting it more and more. But so I want to encourage you to do that. But today, right now, I want to say thank you to the Lord. All of you that are part of the spiritual family, we're just saying, thank you, God. I get to be a part of something. Yes, it's challenging. It's difficult. There's setbacks. There's delays. But it's you. You care about it. It's sacred to you. Thank you, God. Lord, I say thank you, God, for this. And Lord, I say yes in my heart again. Lord, I want to do what you do, and I want to be where you are. And if this is the purpose you have said, I love it, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege of it. And I thank you for these two 17-year periods that kind of converge at this time with YWAM here last week. I want to invite anybody to come forward that's saying, you know what, I've lost touch of some of my God story, and I want to get it back. I want to get back into that narrative, because without that narrative, you just got the noise of life and everything else, and it's rough out there without a God story clearly in your mind that's developing little by little over the years. I want to invite you to come forward if you're saying, yeah, I need to get in touch with that. I need to line up again. I need to recommit to it, and this is a good time to do it. Then I want to invite others that you have need of physical healing. We always want to pray for the sick. The Lord has promised us in His Word, and a number of times, supernaturally, about healing, that there would be unusual healing that takes place. And of course, we got it in the Word. That's good enough. But He has three or four major, major experiences where He says, IHOP, no disease known to man is going to stand before My name in your midst. And that's going to happen in other places too. But I'm believing for a time where no disease known to man will stand in front of the name of Jesus. Great miracles take place. Lord, I ask You for a release of that even now. I'm going to invite the ministry team to come up. I'm going to invite anybody that's involved in FCF leadership and friendship group team or departments or any worship teams, any of those leaders, come on up and join us as well. Any department head. Father, we thank You. Lord, we say yes. And again, I want to encourage you to maybe go to the website and check out those 8 prophetic stories, those 8 one-hour sessions. Even if you've heard them years ago, hear them again. Hear 2 or 3 of them. Remind yourself of what's really going on in this place.
Though the world sees and soon forgets, we will not forget who You are, what You've done for us, what You've done for us. Forgets, we will not forget who You are, what You've done for us, what You've done for us. Though the world sees and soon forgets, we will not forget who You are, what You've done for us.
Lord, we will not forget
what You've done for us.
Lord, we will not forget what You've done. Lord, I ask You to renew our vision.
What You've done.
Lord, reestablish the story in our heart. Your story for our life, together and individually. Lord, I ask You that You would restore what the enemy has destroyed or taken. Restore it back, I ask. Surrender, we say yes to Your leadership.
You go, I go, what You say, I say, what You pray, I pray, what You pray, I pray. Where You go, I go, what You say, I say, what You pray, I pray, what You pray, I pray.
Lord, I ask You by Your Spirit, touch us. Prophetic Spirit, I ask You to renew the God story in our lives. Heal bodies, heal hearts right now, we ask. Lord, help us raise 1 million intercessors for YWAM. Give us help on this, Lord, I ask. Sign up again. We say yes, Lord.
Show us,
God, Your glory. I say thank You, Lord. I say thank You, Lord. Thank You for the body of Christ, the beautiful body of Christ. In this people.
And we say thank You, thank You.
Thank You, Lord.
With a heart of gratitude.
With a heart of gratitude.
We agree with You and we say.
worship.
We agree with you. Jesus, I love your leadership.
I love your ways, Jesus. Invited me to be a part of this.
Thank you for the invitation to partner with
Thank you, Lord, that you let me be a part of this. I get to do this with you.
Thank you for
these
the
amazing
call.
People.
Thank you for
with friendship.
The you called me up,
Lord, I call forth friendship. I call forth greater friendship in this place and in the body of Christ worldwide.
We agree with you.
We agree with you, Jesus. God, I ask you for the grace of friendship with you, with one another, and with the body of Christ at large. Greater friendship. Lord, release the anointing of greater friendship. To celebrate, to enjoy one another more, even in our weakness. Devotion to you for what they gave even to this place.
You say thank you.
Lord, I thank you. David and Renata Perkins and the new work they're establishing, just the new young church that they're planting. Lord, I ask that you'd bless them even today and their opening day. We just speak blessing on them from this place. David and Renata Perkins, Lord, blessing upon them. On Dan and Amy, Lord, release your glory through them.
Bless your church, let it grow.
Let your church grow all over this city, Lord. Every congregation in this city,
favor,
every new congregation, every old congregation, every denomination. We bless your church in the city. Lord, we ask for financial miracles for every one of them, for spiritual breakthrough, for favor, for direction, for encounter with them, Lord.
Your church, that it will be fruitful and multiply. It will be fruitful and multiply.
Bless your church, Lord. Call forth your glorious body in this city, 1,000 congregations. That it would be fruitful. It would be multiplied.
Sweet, bless your church.